What's going on, wrestling fans? It is your boy D Hall on the call tonight. Just me tonight. Kaz had some stuff going on for work. He was all tied up here tonight. So it's just your boy D Hall running it. So looking forward to a great show with you guys. I have a bunch of guests due to come on. Just a little schedule. I have Josh Shields, the head coach of Burrow. The Burrow area Bucks coming on at about 7:50-ish. He's going to talk about his team's performance, their championship. I also have at 8:05, I have Coach Swink of Connellsville. He's coming on. So super excited to talk to him, talk about the Falcons' performance. They just rolled. They looked fantastic. And, you know, really just put a stamp on what I predicted, but it was really close. We're going to get into it. I'm, you know, so excited about it. And then the college guest of the night is Joey Fisher, Clarion, 125 pounder, just took out Anthony Noto of Lock Haven University. He was like ranked fourth in the country. So jam packed show for you guys. So pumped up to get into it. So without further ado, let's hit the theme music. And as always, this show is brought to you by Switch Custom Apparel.
Welcome to the Neophiles Web Video Show, where D.R. and Kaz are gonna tell you all the things you wanna know. Whether it's Trinity or Spencer Lee or Mr. Kurt Angle, just ask Vinity, Web the Ken and Mac for show. They got the interviews to serve your soul.
All right. So, like I said, super excited to get into this show. First things first, I guess we'll start off right on the AA side of things. I'm going to try to run down both AA and AAA. I mean, fantastic stuff. I think for AA, what was really interesting, you know, we look at who made it to the semis. Kaz and I predicted the same. We both predicted that Burrow and Derry would be on the top side and that Mount Pleasant, actually, that was what we got to get into at the upset. But on the bottom side, it was Burrow. I'm sorry, top side was Burgerstown, bottom side was Burrow and Quaker Valley. So the only one that we missed is what we got to get into. Mount Pleasant upset Derry. Fantastic upset for them. We thought that the young Bucks for Derry would get it done. We were wrong there, so kudos to Mount Pleasant, and you know, they have some really, really nice kids. Placembo, Chalice, their hammer up top, obviously has a great name, and he's putting on a great performance. I believe he's undefeated this year, so Mr. Pitzer. So, man, really impressive stuff from Mount Pleasant to get to the Final Four. So, but right into the Final Four, man. You know, you look at the top side. You had Burgettstown and Mount Pleasant. Ultimately, just a little bit too much, right? Burgettstown goes out and beats Mount Pleasant in the first semifinal. Let me pull up the score here. So 56-15 in that matchup. You look at it. There was a lot of forfeits. We had a couple forfeits, like four forfeits. So, but it was one of the highlight matches. Dylan Pitzer decision, Joey Baronic 6-0 in the heavyweight match. Interesting to see there, man. Joey Baronic, we've talked to him. I've talked to him a bunch. Kind of been the guy at heavyweight at double A. So for him to get beat 6-0, Dylan Pitzer really just kind of asserting himself, like I said, off the top, undefeated. So, man, impressive stuff there. But ultimately, Burgettstown, just a little bit too much, right? They get into the finals and meet Burrow, who Burrow goes up against familiar foe Quaker Valley. Quaker Valley upset Burrow a couple years ago in the semifinals and ultimately stopped their reign, which was, you know, it was a really big deal. But we're going to get into the finals here in a minute. But Burrow and Quaker Valley, Burrow 44, Quaker Valley 17. It started off Isaac Lisinski pinned Chris Brown in a minute and 14 seconds, 6-0 right off the bat. Then Luke Boylan got a pin. So then Aiden Kuhn got a decision. So they were just rolling. Cam Baker right off the other side gets a forfeit. So they just rolled right off the bat, just a little bit too much for Quaker Valley. Quaker Valley has their guys, right? Bruce Andercheck goes out and gets the decision, 114 pounds. Jack Cazales, major decision. Those are two of the guys that I've been on all year. Matt Dana, another one, had a nice day. I saw him pick up two nice decisions. He picked up a nice decision in the third, fourth place match. So beats Callio Zanella, 7-2 decision. Marcus Ritchie picks up a major decision, but just a little bit too much, right? So sets up what we've been waiting for, what Kaz and I've been talking about a lot. And we're going to get into it because we're going to have Coach Shields on here real shortly. And I'm excited to talk to him. I have a bunch of questions for him. But really, man, we're going to, you know, right off the top, you see they started off at 189 pounds. So then you look at it, it's interesting. And it goes right to 215 for the finals. And, you know, they have Luke Boylan there for Burrow. I was interested to see what they were going to do, if they were going to bump, leave them go. So they went Luke Boylan at 215. Joey Baronic goes up against the freshman, Aiden Kuhn. Aiden Kuhn holds it to a decision. And honestly, for me, right there, it looked like the bench kind of deflated. So they just went on a run. Cam Baker got a pin. Carter Thomas, major decision over Darius Simmons. Petucci got a decision over Dylan Slovic, 4-3. It just kind of rolled from there and just a little bit too much. And Burrow, so these two have wrestled, I believe, three out of the last 4 years in the WPIAL final. So that's a testament to both these programs, both coaches, the Vigliardi brothers over there, and Coach Alveca, I believe that's his name. I've been seeing some good stuff on him over there. So both coaching staffs over there, Burgerstown, and then obviously we're going to have Coach Shields, and, you know, they have Coach Como and Coach Greenlee, and, you know, just, you know, Mr. Shields, you know, the Josh's dad, I believe, is around a lot. So just, you know, it's a family thing with both those programs, and it's really, really cool to see them meet in the finals and get after it again. Now, you look at the state bracket, which we'll get into in a little bit, but, you know, there's a chance just the way bracket plays out, they can meet in the consolation and sign me up for it. Front stage, I want to see that, no doubt about it. I'd love to see something like that. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see how these teams do at the state bracket. Ultimately, you know, Quaker Valley and Mount Pleasant wrestled this Monday. So both of those teams lost and they are out. Quaker Valley went out to, I believe, Bald Eagle area and they lost out there. And Mount Pleasant went up north. I don't remember, but I remember that they lost. I saw that. To someone pretty tough. So it's tough whenever you go against Fort LaBeouf. That's what it was. Had to think about that one. So I forgot to write it down. So Fort LaBeouf ultimately, you know, I believe PA Power has like a top 10 ranking on them for Division 2, 2A. So just a really tough team. Both opponents. I mean, Bald Eagle beat Bethel Park at the beginning of the year. Bethel Park, you know, I don't believe had the same lineup that we saw, you know, that we're going to talk about here in a minute, but both those teams just ran into two buzzsaws. You know, Bald Eagle lost to Bishop McCourt. So, you know, take that loss there and you have to go and battle against a team like that. You know, really, really tough opponent. I believe Quentin Wright, the national champ from Penn State, is their coach out there. So, man, just tough team, you know. But great performances from both those squads to get where they got. You know, I know that, you know, they're both young teams and they're going to be back. I believe both those teams are going to be right there next year. So, and they have a lot of really fun individuals like we just talked about. So I'm excited to see where those teams get to. But for the other two teams, Burgettstown and Burrow, you know, I'll be honest with you guys, and you know, this is me kind of giving a plug to PA Power. I nerded out on their podcast that they had on Rockfin. If you guys don't have Rockfin, get the whatever it is, like, I don't know what it is, $10 a month or something. Pay for it and just go. Willie's content's on there, PA Power's content's on there. Go, like, go get it. I'm sure if you guys are listening to me, you have their stuff, but man, their episode, their recap is going to be, you know, it's 10 times more in depth than mine. I kind of like to do interviews and talk to the guys, and Kaz is not here tonight, so we kind of bounce off each other with the stats and stuff. But man, they were awesome on their recaps. I really nerded out, and I believe Ken Wanderley gave them a plug on some 100 match winners for teams, and that was such an interesting conversation. They were pulling out teams like from Hampton, from 2013, which I remember that squad because my brother's team wrestled against them, and the Bel Vernon team that was just recent. That was a really good team. So man, that was a fun conversation. So I'll give them a little plug there. Go out and check out Greg Warnock and Jeff Upshin's conversation on PA Power on Rockfin. Pay the whatever it is. Go check them out. That was really good stuff. That conversation in particular. I really appreciated that. So, but yeah, shortly here, I send this text over to Josh Shields. He's going to jump on the podcast here. We're going to talk to him about their performance and really, you know, where they were at to get the championship done. Man, they go out and win the championship. You know, it was kind of a long haul, and this is kind of, I'm interested and excited to talk to him about it. Right, like, they haven't been here in a couple of years, and that's very rare for this program. And I'm excited to see what he says, and, you know, see the grind for them to get back to it. You know, I'm sure that they were very hungry to get there. So I'm sending him this email right now. All right, so that's sent over there. Sorry for the little silence there, folks. Normally bounce that back. So anyway, so they go out and get it done, man. I was just so impressed. And, you know, they won every toss-up match. Every close one, it just seemed like they won. They pick up bonus points where you know, they could. And then they save bonus points. And then, like I said, it started right off the rip at the heavyweight. And, man, that young heavyweight, he's going to be something. I'm excited to see where he lands and see where, how he progresses. And typical Burrow, you know, all their mid-level kids, they just find a way to be really tough and get it done. Like I said, they just go out, win the championship. All right. Sorry for the rambling there, folks. But we do have our coach on now, Mr. Josh Shields.
Hey, what's going on?
Good to see you. Coach, good to see you.
Yes, you too. You too.
First, congratulations.
Thank you, man. Thank you. It was exciting Saturday, no doubt. Especially after coming up short the past 2 years, to finally close that match out and win the Liberal title. It felt good. And like I said, I was talking to the team, but that was pretty much 17 out of 18 guys on the roster have never won a Liberal title. So to see that joy in their eyes and to see them celebrate was awesome.
So that's exactly what I got to get into, man. That's rare stuff for you guys. Normally, like, we've had conversations, right, where it's like every single one of these kids, they don't know what it's like not to win a Whippeal title, right? This is kind of the reverse. Talk about that, and, you know, how did you guys get that mindset back for these kids?
Yeah, like I said, you know, previously kids would win 4 Whippeal titles at Burrow, mm-hmm. right, when we had that streak going of 15 consecutive. But, yeah, we never really lost focus. We knew what we wanted to accomplish. But anyone that's competitive is going to question themselves, right? Are we doing the right thing? Do we got to switch it up? But like I said, we really just stayed the course, you know, had confidence. We always try to wrestle tough competition throughout the year to prepare us for this time. So, like I said, the guys just went out there and executed.
So talk to me about when you went up to the Ultimate Duels. I know you guys go up there every year, and that's really, really tough competition. Talk about those duels up there and kind of getting you prepared for the district duels.
Yeah, so really, like I said, going up to Rookville every year is always a tough, tough event, right? You're pretty much wrestling the best double-A teams on the western side of the state. And to what us coaching staff, that really kind of emulates what the postseason is going to be at the state duels on that Saturday, right? When you're wrestling 2-3 really tough matches back to back to back. So we go there. Like I said, we usually take our lumps, but we really just use that as a learning experience. And we also use that kind of as confidence to go into the district duels, knowing that no one has gone through that before, right? No one has wrestled several tough teams back and forth like we have. So we've been there, we learned from it, and just kind of fix some things that we might not have done correct at the ultimate duels and kind of fix them for the postseason.
All right, let's just get right into Saturday. You guys go out and you wrestle Mount Pleasant. I'm sorry, you guys wrestle Quaker Valley on the bottom side. Was that who you guys were expecting? I know that Belle Vernon had a really tough team, and ultimately, you guys had to get past Bentworth, who has some really, really tough studs. You guys definitely didn't have an easy road to get to the championship.
Yeah, no, we figured we'd be seeded second. Typically, the WPIL favors the returning champ unless they have a loss. So, like I said, we've been in the opposite shoes plenty of times, so we kind of knew where we'd be at. And we definitely felt the Quaker Valley was the third best team. So, like I said, we wrestled them last year in the same spot. And, that was another match we were just excited to get back to and compete. Obviously, they beat us 2 years ago in the Whipple Championship. So a lot of kids remember that, right? And they want to get back there. And like I said, just beat them. I really think we sort of dominated that entire match. The most impressive thing was we didn't give up a single fall. Right? Quaker Valley has some tough kids in that roster, right? Some state place winners. And not to give up falls the entire duel was definitely impressive for our guys.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, like you said, they have some really high-level kids and some kids that kind of lead their program. And to not give up any falls, definitely some impressive stuff, no doubt about it. So moving right into the championship, you see a familiar foe. I talked about it off the top. Correct me if I'm wrong. 3 of the last 4 years, you guys have wrestled them in the finals, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So talk about that opponent. Talk about Burgettstown and what it is like to go against them as I know that you guys respect each other a lot.
Yeah, like I said, a lot of respect for their program. They've really made us better these past couple of years. When we wrestled them, we knew that they're going to compete, right? They're going to be scrappy kids. Even some of those, 500 guys are still going to go out there and fight. So a lot of respect for that program. But like I said, that's a team, they said, knocked us off before last year. So, we kind of kept that in the back of our mind, and we wanted to get back to that finals, and we wanted to wrestle them, which we thought we would pretty much all year.
So when you saw that you guys were starting off at 189 and, you kind of expected to get a good matchup and beat Quaker Valley and go on to the finals, and you knew you were going to start off at 215 in the finals, what did you think going into there? Like, how did you feel going in? Ultimately, I mean, you had to have been really happy with what happened out of the heavyweight match.
Yeah, certainly. Like I said, we liked where we started. Always want to start the duel with a win if you can. And like I said, Luke went out there and got the major. And then that heavyweight match, like I said, that's a match we've been training for weeks. We've obviously watched him wrestle plenty of times. We know he's a tough kid, but we thought we could really keep that match close. And like I said, we focused on that, 2+ weeks of practice, really how to stop his like head lever that he does on top, how to work out of underhooks. And, you can practice all you want and train, but the kid still has to go out there and execute. So for Aiden to go out there as a freshman and keep that match to a decision was huge for the win. After that match, we just thought, we were favored in the next 3. I honestly thought, if we can win 127, we should win this duel meet.
Yeah, and you did. You go out and you win that one. That was the big one. And I'll be honest with you. I talked to Alex Moses up in the bleachers there, and he was kind of breaking it down for me. And he was like, "Man, that 127-pound match, that was the big one." So, what was it like? Take me behind that. Do you talk to your wrestler? Does he know that he's the linchpin of that match, or do you how do you guys go about that?
Yeah, I mean, they obviously know. They see the results. They see what kids have done before, and like I said, they're 127-pounders, won some big matches for them. So we knew he'd be game. We knew he'd be out there compete. And really all week we just kind of Preston Julian, have confidence, man. Have confidence. You're a better wrestler. You can win these matches. And, you know, as a sophomore, and he's even kind of struggled to win some big matches, whether semifinal matches or others. So we really just focus on confidence because Julian is really one of the hardest working kids on our team. He does everything right. But like I said, you still got to go out there and execute. So to see him win that big match on that big stage was just awesome. I knew he was super excited about the win.
All right, so moving forward, you guys go out to Hershey this week and talk about your matchups out there. Talk about how you feel about your squad. Obviously, you know, that's a fun trip. I know you guys enjoy going out there and taking the squad out to Hershey. But talk about where you sit in the bracket.
Yeah, the state team goals is really a lot of the kids, it's the highlight of the year, right? It's what they look forward to most, just, you know, being off school for 3 days and just wrestling tough matches, right, against tough competition. We're state medal on the line. So, you know, this year, double A is tough, man. It's really, like I said, you have, I said this before, but I think it's harder to win a double A state team title than a triple A state team title this year, right? Just,
you know, yeah, man.
The top two schools are so tough. So we know what's ahead of us, right? And we believe that we're a good team. Like I said, we're going to go out there, compete hard, and see where the chips fall. But we think if we can go out there and execute and wrestle hard each and every match, we can walk out there with state medal.
Love that. Yeah, I think you guys have a good shot. Like you said, the top two teams are a little ridiculous this year, a little loaded. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where you guys come back. I think there's a good chance that you guys wrestle Burgertown. I would love to see that. So, but yeah, so going past that, individuals, you know, obviously you have a returning state champion in Cooper Horneck. You have a lot of other great individuals. Not to put any expectations, but how do you feel as a team individually? How many guys do you think you can get out there to the state tournament? Do you think you can take? I feel like you guys should take a lot of guys.
Yeah, I think we're that team that's kind of right on the bubble. I think we have pretty much three guys that are returning state qualifiers, and then we have a laundry list of guys that are right on that bubble, right? That are, you know, underclassmen, sophomores, or juniors, and have been close before, but really haven't punched their ticket. And like I said, those guys, that's their goal really, is to get to the state tournament, compete for a state medal. And like I said, I think this experience at state team goals will help us prepare for that, you know, tournament. Like I said, we live for the postseason. It's the favorite part of the year. We always say this is just practice leading up to this point. We try to wrestle our best this weekend and the next three or four weekends.
Now, I can't let you go without talking about your staff, man. You have one of the best staffs in the WIPIO. You look down the list of guys that are there helping out. It's incredible. I saw the picture. I'm like, man, there's a lot of talent, a lot of knowledge. Talk about your staff, man, and talk about how you lean on those guys.
Yeah, like I said, I'm truly blessed to be the head coach of this program. You know, because of the guys that helped me out. You know, obviously Coach Cromo, Coach Ice, they were my coaches back in, you know, when I competed. They're still around. They have a club in the Lowerborough area, which really allows a lot of our kids to get extra workouts in. But even throughout that, Steve Ansini, he wasn't able to make the Whitfield Dolls. Sorry, my phone rang.
Oh, you're good. I've had like moments of silence tonight because,
right. You know, can you hear me?
Your
phone was ringing. Okay, cool.
No, you're good.
But yeah, actually, Steve Ansini couldn't be there. He's doing some like a back problem, which he was super bummed that he wasn't able to attend. But like I said, we added Brock Biddle this year. He's a UPJ All-American, a great guy for the middleweights. He's really helped out
Monster.
Isaac tremendously.
Yes. All-American. Oh, my goodness.
No doubt.
Just like falls into your lap. That's incredible.
Perfect. Talk. Here we go. We'll add him. Yeah. So he's been awesome. Like I say, he's really kind of a personal coach for Isaac Lisitsky. He's helped him. And then we have Ethan Whistler, who's kind of like the heavyweight coach. Another guy wrestled at Penn State, wrestled at UPJ. Great guy. And then Jake Grimacki's really a lightweight coach. He really wrestles with a lot of lightweights, Cam, Cooper, and those guys. And Jake was a stud in college, right? I think I'm pretty sure a national qualifier, wrestled at Pitt, wrestled at Clarion.
Yep.
He was a four-time Triple A state.
Erie boy, right?
Yep. Erie prep. Yep. So I got my Erie connections there. So like I said, he's been on the staff now. I think it's his third year. He's a great addition.
That's awesome, man. That's good stuff. Okay. Last thing I have for you. Talk about what it is like bringing home another Whitfield championship to the town of Burrell. To me, man, I went out there and watched Burrell Kiske. You guys are one of the best wrestling towns in the WIPIO. I love, you know, just I was talking to someone when both sides know every takedown, every situation, it makes the atmosphere so much fun. And, you guys, you know, your crowd is certainly, certainly knowledgeable. Talk about what it was like winning a championship for Burrow.
Yeah, like I said, you know, people always say like it's kind of lonely on the top, but honestly, I felt like the past 2 years us not winning, it's been long days, hard days, right? Hard years of not being able to kind of accomplish our goal, but like still knowing when you do everything right, but you still fall short, that hurts, right? Like I said, there's some cool days those past 2 years. So to finally be able to get over that hump, win another Whipfield title, it just felt right. It felt natural. Like I said, the whole entire community was excited. We got a police escort through town on the way back, which is awesome.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome.
And hollering. So, yeah, it was awesome. Kids enjoyed it, no doubt. We enjoyed that Saturday night, but like I said, once we got to practice Monday, you know, we kind of evaluated the dual meet, and I thought the same thing. Like, we wrestled hard, wrestled good, but we still left some points on the mat. I thought we could have done better, right? And that was kind of the message on Monday, like, hey, if we want to get on the podium, we got to do better, right? And we can. Look what we did, and it wasn't our best match. Imagine if we all go out there and execute. So we're excited.
I love that, man. That's a good way to lead it off. Do you have anything else for me before I leave you go?
No, all good, man. Appreciate it.
Josh, appreciate you. Good luck this weekend, and good luck at individuals. I'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Later, brother. All right, man. Always a joy to have Josh Shields on. Like we said, we kind of broke down that match, man. It's just impressive stuff. I really, really enjoy having him on. He's just super knowledgeable, and, you know, he's so appreciative of the town of Burrow, and I love talking about that. I love the town of Burrow. I love that their tradition, and, you know, Burgettstown's right there, man. Like I said, both sides, you know, equally, you know, every situation, cheering for stall calls. It's a great atmosphere, man. If you guys, next year, I know I'm going to preach it all year, but it's like, it literally is like the can't miss on the Whipio schedule. It was so much fun. So, so, so much fun. So yeah, I mean, it was great to see Burrow go back and win the title. Burgettstown right there, you know. I believe I talked about it a little bit, but you know, the PA Power talking about it, but Burgettstown, where they have five guys that have 100 wins. You know, Baronic is one of those guys. Sweika is one of those guys. Santa Paul is one of those guys. I mean, they just have guys littered up and down their lineup that are super tough, and you know, they're gonna make noise. Don't sleep on them in the big tournament. I mean, I picked them to beat Burrow. I think, you know, I thought that they had a good chance to get over them. But man, Burgettstown and Burrow, sign me up for that every single year. I just love the fans, love the intensity, love both coaching staffs. Double A, that was a lot of fun. I'm always there for it. I love it, love it, love it. Okay, turning the page over to Triple A, man. This was, you know, caught my breath, stepped outside. I was like, all right, here we go. We got Triple A. The kids started filing in, and, you know, it was getting packed in the arena. And, you know, kudos to the committee, right? Oh, my goodness gracious. Was, you know, as a wrestling fan, I think everyone is a wrestling fan. It was just amazing to have everything in the same gym the same day. You know, I know that it was a little early for Double A, but just to have it all the same day was fantastic. You know, so kudos to Frank, kudos to the committee. You know, they got the seating really well, you know, other than like a 4 or 5, which who knows, that's really tough, but they got really, really good on the seating on the Double A side. So, you know, I just really appreciate that it was in the same place, same time. Okay. So moving on to Triple A, I'm going to have Coach Swink on here in a minute. And he's going to talk about the championship for them, but we're going to break it down real quick. Before he comes on. So at the top side of things, we saw Trinity. They were the number one seed. They had Bethel Park. They were the, was it the 1-4 matchup, because Bethel Park was the 4 seed. Now, Bethel Park had a barn burner of a duel on the quarterfinals against North Allegheny. And this is kind of like what we boiled it down to. There was like, me and Cass talked about this all year. There was like 6 to 8 teams that were really good that can maybe sneak into the 4. And then kind of like the 4 teams kind of like separated themselves. So that was, you know, Trinity, Bethel Park. And then on the bottom side, it was Franklin Regional and Connellsville. So And you go look at the quarterfinals. Connellsville wrestled on the bottom side. Connellsville wrestled. I wanted to start there because Connellsville wrestled Fox Chapel. And, you know, that was a lot closer than people think. You look at some of the results. There was a, you know, ultimate tiebreaker match. I think Atlanta Funk lost. I was talking to Kaz about it. And I believe Alexander lost a close one. I'd have to go back and check. I don't want to misspeak on that. But, it, you know, looking back on that. So needless to say, what I'm getting at is Fox Chapel was right there as well with these four teams. So the final score in that was 33-24. And that one was super, super close. So you look down that match. Let me see here. Yes, Alexander and Julian Ruggieri is a tough opponent. 3-1 in that match. You know, so and that match was 33-24. You look down that, you look down, there's a couple really, really tight decisions. And Michael Warzen lost 11-10 against Zachary Franks. Fox Chapel was right there. So coincidentally, on the other side, like I just said, North Allegheny and Bethel Park was a dogfight in the other quarterfinal, the 4-5 matchup, which we knew it was going to be 26-19. Talk about a low scoring match. Holy crap. And kudos to, I'm not sure who runs the North Allegheny wrestling account, but I was glued to your account, spamming it, highlighting it, trying to get there and seeing who was going to win each match. You did a fantastic job just updating it. Even though that North Allegheny took the loss, man, it was still fantastic to see, to follow each tweet. I was glued. But Bethel Park gets the tight decision. And that was one me and Kaz sweated over. I really did not know because I could see either one of those teams. They were right there. And again, we're spoiled, right? You guys should see how it is at some of the other districts. And, you know, I see Mr. Upson, Jeff Upson, talk about it on, you know, some social media. And it's a mess out in other districts. It is. It's a mess, man. So, you know, I know it's tough sometimes. We, you know, we're seeding. Everyone's not everyone's always happy, right? But you look at the end of the day when all the cookie crumbles, they were pretty good. The seeds are really good, especially here. The top four seeds make it, and the top four seeds were – it was a dogfight. I didn't know who was going to win each match. You look back and forth. So the top side, Bethel Park and Trinity, you look down. I guess really for me the turning point was they had Ryan Walsh, who, you know, for those of you who don't know, he's a stud baseball player. I believe he's going to – Virginia Tech on a baseball scholarship. So just a monster baseball player, but said, "Coach, I'll wrestle for you. I'm going to try to help you win a Whitfield championship for Coach Nauman." Steps on the mat and man goes out and decks his dude, goes, you know, for Trinity, goes out and gets the pin, goes out and gets another, the next match is another pin and they're rolling right in the heavyweight, gets another pin. And they talked about it, on PA Power, but I agree, man, that really the key matchup was the Mason Kernan Blake Reiner matchup. I thought when Bethel Park won that match and then they rolled on the heavier weights, I'm like, oh boy, here we go. Like, is it gonna happen? But ultimately, just a little bit too much for Trinity. Trinity goes out and wins 27-26 in criteria, and it was just, man, incredible, incredible stuff. It ended Jacob Wright decision 5-2. Incredible stuff. He was there for, I don't know, it was the last, felt like the last minute, but probably the last 20 seconds or so to get the win. But man, it was such a razor close duel. You could put these four in a hat and mix them up, and you don't know who's going to win each time and out. But you know, Connellsville, we'll talk about them here in a minute with Coach Swink. They were clearly the favorite in my opinion, but you know, they go out and get it done. They were impressive to me. But there was a turning point where Franklin Regional was right there, and Kaz said, you know, Kaz picked them, and you know, I was surprised, which we both love Libby. I love Libby. I just thought Connellsville had a little bit too much, right? Libby and the Franklin Regional Panthers, man. They gave him everything they can handle. But ultimately, just really, I think the turning point was similar to what we talked about in the double-A match. One of the leaders lost for Franklin Regional. Takapusta loses to Kai Vioma for Connellsville. Man, just really impressive stuff. Takapusta battled. But Kai Vioma just was like a dog on a bone, man, got the decision. And, you know, that kind of set that in motion for Connellsville. But you look up at the end of the score, man, and it was if that match flips, which, you know, very well could have, right? So if that match flips, we're looking at 21-28 Connellsville or Franklin Regional. Tight, all four of these teams, so tight. You know, Henry Patz, so tough for Franklin Regional. I've been so impressed with him, just, you know, battling in there, getting the decision. Who else was looking down? Just Juliana Marion was right there. Tyler Gauss, the big man for Connellsville, goes out and gets two nice decisions for them. He's put on some size. He's a big, big boy. Nolan Rice for them. I know that for Connellsville, I know that they have a couple of really nice lightweight guys in 107s, but man, Nolan Rice, super impressive for them. Goes out and gets the big decision, and ends up pushing them into the finals, which, you know, Franklin Regional, super tough. Could have been right there. So that sets up Bethel Park, Franklin Regional, and then the finals was Trinity and Connellsville, which, man, Trinity and Connellsville was, you know, I thought that there was a chance that Trinity would get there and put a really good match on Connellsville. So when we would all boil down to – sorry, let me send this email for Coach Swing, guys. All right. So it all boiled down to whenever we got down to, and it was close, right? 33-32. It ended. They gave Canale the forfeit at the end, but Canale's one of their guys, right? So I think Canale for Trinity had a good chance to finish where, you know, get the fall or pretty close to it. But Nolan Rice goes out and beats Jacob Wright. The other way around, right? Jacob Wright was the hero of the match before. Nolan Rice goes out and gets it, 114 pounds. Tommy Gretz, the match before that, pins Mickey Horn. You know, they pulled Trinity pulled out Jace Banco out of the hallway, man. And he looked very similar to his brother, man. He was impressive. He went out there, battled. Tyler Gallus, he's a big boy. Probably had a good couple pounds on him. Banco went out there and battled. I believe he hit a headlock, hit a midi Banco bomb. So that was awesome. But ultimately, just Connellsville, just a little bit too much, man. And here's the head coach of Connellsville. Super excited to talk to him and talk about their championship. What's up, Coach Swink? How are you?
Good, Donnie. How are you tonight?
First things first, congratulations on your championship.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. So when I saw you, when I first walked in, I saw you when you walked into the gym, you said you were a little banged up. You were a little nervous. Your team didn't wrestle like it, man. They were super impressive. You guys just rolled. Really, the Franklin Regional match was super close. Let's talk about that match first, specifically Kai Vioma upsetting Takapusta.
Yeah, I mean, that was huge for the team and for Kai. You know, he's cool as a cucumber. He, you know, for a ninth grader, he doesn't panic. He is in total control of himself for 6 minutes every time he goes out and competes. So, and that was a very good win because Capusta is an outstanding wrestler. So, you know, that kind of set the stage. That was early on in the duel. So it gave our kids a little confidence, I think. I lost the sound, Donnie.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I thought I clicked the button. I apologize. Yeah. All right, so I got to talk to you about the match before that. I got ahead of myself. I apologize. The quarterfinals match with Fox Chapel. So how did you feel about that match going into it? Man, that was pretty close when you look back at the box score.
Yeah, it was. It was a good match. You know, we did our research on them. We hadn't seen them all year, but they had a really, really good team. You know, we made it look a little closer at the end. We didn't wrestle Petrovich at 45. We wrestled Carter Wilson there to end the match. That was the last match of the night. You know, and then at 127, we were up 6-1 late in the match and got caught and pinned. That was another big turning point there. But they were very competitive, you know, and you were talking about the little guys, I know, earlier tonight. And you know, we didn't have Landon Lynn available last week to wrestle, mm-hmm. but he'll be back this week. But we moved Rice. We put Gretz out at 7 and Rice at 14, and he beat Funk. Which was big for us in that match as well against Fox Chapel.
Man, what is it like to have that depth with those two young cats? Man, they're so tough.
Yeah, they're both great kids, great wrestlers, and we're fortunate to have them. You know, because it gave us that flexibility there. We wrestled them both at 7 and both at 14.
Right, so. I've seen that. So you kind of bump and move.
It was like they would both get back there when it was 7 or, you know, it was over first, and I'd point left or right. We really didn't have a huge strategy with it, right? We were just like, okay, which one are we going to go at 7 and which one at 14?
Right. Okay. Okay, so talk about ultimately you get into the finals, man. AAA was wide open this year, but, man, you guys go out and win the championship against a really, really tough Trinity opponent. You know, you guys take a tough loss against North Allegheny a couple of weeks ago at your duels. So talk about you know, ultimately winning the championship, man. It's got to be good for Connorsville to get that title back home.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, we've had some tradition. We had 7 going in, and we made that number 8 this year. But you know, 2008 was the last time. So you're looking at what, 15 years since the last time Connorsville won. And you know, the last 2 years, we've been in there. We finished 2nd in 22 and 4th last year. Didn't have a real good Saturday last year, so it was good to go 2-0 this year when we went 0-2 last year on Saturday. So, you know, that was good. But, you know, you talk about – I heard you talking with Burl, you know, and I think we have another great community of wrestling supporters.
I was going to get to it. You're stealing my thunder, but go ahead.
Sorry, but you know, so the support's great from the community and you know, the program, the school, everybody pulls behind the wrestling program, and it was good to get back on top for the kids and the community. You know, it was really fun.
No doubt. Yeah, so that was like my next question, man. You guys are one of the few schools in the WIPIO that like have a home mat advantage, man. You go out there. I wrestled in your gym in the playoffs, man. Your fans know what's going on. They're screaming for Stalling. It's a tough environment. It's loud. They're right on top of you. Talk about what it's like just having that group of fans just showing up and supporting you guys.
Oh, I mean, it is phenomenal, and it's good to be at home. You know, it really is, because we do have a home mat advantage
for sure.
Crowds are big. You know, we get 1,000 plus for almost every dual match we wrestle in our gym, and our fans travel well also. So, you know, we've been at away matches, a lot of them, where we have more people than the home team does. So, you know, the support's really good, and you know, we have an alumni group. We have a parents group. You know, very active wrestling community supporting our program, and that's a true blessing for us as coaches and our athletes as well.
So this is the third time I've had you on. Give me the update on the wrestling gym, on the wrestling room.
Okay, well, we're in it. It's almost 100% done.
Nice.
We're waiting for the new mats to come in. Cool. But other than that, it's pretty much done. So they should be here anytime. Resolate a little slow ever since COVID, but you know, they'll be coming in. But we got 3 full mats in there. We've got room on each end for cardio equipment and weight equipment, and got a little office in there for the coaches. It's great. We got cubicles for the kids to put their stuff in. We got charging stations that they can plug their stuff into, and but it's really, really nice. Got 3 TVs on the wall. We got a sound system that it shakes the wall. So
let's go. That's awesome. I have to come down and check it out one day.
You will, yeah. Come on down.
I will. I'm definitely gonna do that. Okay. Last thing I have kind of on your group, talk about your coaches. Talk about what it, you know, your group that you know, I look down just like a lot of the Final Four teams, you know, all of these schools have just fantastic sets of coaches. Talk about your set, man.
Oh, sure. You know, our at the high school, we've got Chad Jesko. You know, Chad was, he actually was in the last group of kids I coached before I moved to Virginia. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Chad, 3-time Whip Hill champ, wrestled at Pitt.
I see him showing a lot of emotion on the bench. I love it, man. Well, awesome.
He's high energy, you know.
I love that. That's awesome.
Ashton Primus, you know, he's another outstanding alumni.
Was his nickname Prime Time back in the day?
I don't know if it was Prime Time.
I see some of that, on your Facebook page, I feel like.
Yeah. So, but, you know, everyone calls him probably maybe the greatest cradler in history. And, nice. You know, it's great having Ashton on board. George Harvey, you know, another great wrestler, Collinsville alumni. You know, George and I went to school together. So George, we've known each other for a long time. And he has coached under every coach in the history of Collinsville. So I think his first year was 1988.
That's saying something.
Yeah, George has been around and is a great wealth of knowledge, you know. And then we have Zach Snyder comes around some as much as he can. He helps with both the junior high and the high school program. So, you know, another Collinsville guy. Our junior high coaches, Mick Lilly, our head coach, he wrestled at Collinsville. Jimmy Bigham, assistant to junior high. Joel Martin, assistant. They're all Collinsville wrestlers. So it's great having them in. Tommy Province back in helping us. So,
Tommy Province, man. Him and his brother, they're both awesome. I remember both there back in the day. They were 2014, 15. They were great. Tommy was awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, we got all those guys around. And, and heck, you know, we still got guys like Steve Sisson and Donnie Lynn that you know, they're not active coaches, but they're active supporters of the program. And those guys were like 2 of the original junior high coaches in the history of Collinsville that have coached a ton of kids, you know. So
that's awesome.
It's good. Good stuff.
All right. Let's dive right back into your team for a little bit here. Looking at your championship, man, I feel like the turning point was 172. Nicholas Rojal gets out and gets the 4-2 Sun victory decision, man. That felt like was a huge, huge point in the match.
Very huge. You know, we thought we had a shot there. We figured they were going to bump their kids up, which they did. You know, and we were kind of hoping we could win 2 of the 4, you know, 72, 89, 215 in heavyweight, that we felt we needed to win 2 of the 4. And we felt pretty good at heavyweight, so we needed to get one of the other 3. And, you know, Nick got that at 72, and that was a huge, huge win. You know, he scored late to tie it up and then scored pretty quick in overtime to get the win.
Yeah, man, that was a gritty, gritty performance. I want to say there was like 20 seconds left, gets a takedown, then goes out and gets another takedown. You know, really impressive stuff. Go out and, like you said, you finish off the rest of the match with your lightweight guys. talk about, you know, I asked this with Coach Shields, what was it like whenever you found out where you were starting? You know, did you feel comfortable there? It's always interesting to ask that question.
You know, it really changes the dynamic of full league, so that where you start and who wins the coin flip become critical. We thought we were okay where we started and finishing with the lighter weights, you know. We forfeited Canale, but you know, we have Zach Frank. So, you know, I don't know how that would have went, but we had the match locked up, so we weren't going to push it at that point. But, you know, I watched the Bethel Park, though, Trinity at the end because we were done. And, you know, that was something. 114 there, you know. So we were like, okay. So, but, you know, Gretz went out and got a pin at 107, which was big as well. And then, you know, Nolan went out at 14 and got the decision to wrap it up. So,
yeah.
You know, we were – with those three at the end, we felt pretty good. Those three guys are all really good. You know, Gretz and Rice and Frank. So we were okay with that ending up there.
All right, moving forward, how do you like your spot moving forward this week going into the state bracket? You think you've got a chance to make a nice little run?
I hope so. I mean, that's our plan. Our goal is to be wrestling in the last round on Saturday. You know, that's where we started the year, and it hasn't changed. You know, I think it's going to be a lot like the Whip Hill tournament. I'm looking at the AAA. There's no, like, this year, there's no clear-cut dominant team.
No, I agree.
It's going to come down to lots of coin flips and starting weight classes and close duels and who can pull out those toss-up matches, you know. I don't know a lot about Wilson there, Westlawn, but they're tough. I mean, you know, looking through it, and they've wrestled a ton of matches too. Some of their kids have already wrestled 50 matches this year. So I was like, holy cow. But, you know, that'll be our first test in the first round. And it's supposed to be tough, right?
Right.
So not supposed to be easy. But, you know, we're good with where we're sitting in the bracket. I think it's a good spot. I'd rather be on the bottom half than on the top half. So
What's it like taking a group of kids out there and you know, kind of having them, you know, build that team camaraderie?
Yeah, you know, 22 when we went, it was awesome. And every kid, you know, I do a little exit interview with the guys at the end of the year. That was their number one, you know, experience. So we got a few guys that were out there, not a ton in 22. Really only four that competed. So, and then we have some other guys, you know, we're in the auxiliary role there, but it's great. It's good team building. And the environment's great. And I think it's great leading up in the individuals, because you're out there competing in that arena. So, you know, they've been there. It's not a new experience to them if they get there at individuals. So I think that's huge as well. Just hitting competition from the other part of the state, you know, around the state is good for us as well.
Okay. Last couple of questions I have. After you get done with this team tournament, ultimately it goes right into individuals, right? How do you feel as a individual group? How many do you think you can push out? I feel like you guys, you know, you got some guys that can get through. But ultimately, you know, that Whitfield tournament is no joke.
It's no joke at all. And, you know, I would like to get five out, maybe six. If we wrestle really well, you know, that's kind of where I'm looking, which would be a really good tournament, for us. So, you know, and we're really young as well. So, you know, if we can put five, six guys through this year, that'll lend well for the following year as well.
Good stuff. Coach, do you have anything else for me before I leave you go?
Hey, I just want to tell you guys, I appreciate all you do. It's great for the promotion of the sport, you guys, which is what we need, right? You're trying to give us fans and give the fans something to entertain
something
themselves.
Something to chew on. That's it.
No, I really appreciate all you guys do.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate you and taking time out and, you know, just shooting the shit and being completely honest, man. I appreciate that. And I can't wait to get out there and see the Connellsville Super Center, man. The Connellsville RTC. I don't know, whatever you guys are going to name it.
Yeah, it's the TC Schallenberger Wrestling Center.
Let's go.
Yeah, so love to have you down. Maybe you can bring a video camera and do a little.
Yeah, man, I'll do a couple of interviews. Bring my little guy, let him run around, be a nut.
Run around.
I'm into it, man. Okay, yeah, Johnny. We'll have to plan that out. Appreciate you, Coach. Thank you so much.
Yep. Have a good one.
All right, and that was head coach of Connellsville, Coach Bill Swank. Always, always, always a pleasure having him on. Man, you know, like I said, their community out there, they are rabid fans. They love, love, love wrestling. They get after it. Like you said, 1,000 people in the gym. That's it. That's a good, good amount of people for a Whippeville wrestling duel. So they get after it, and they go out, and they win the championship, man. Trinity, just, you know, very close, you know, ultimately, you know, I thought that they would get over Bethel Park. You know, we talked about that. We broke that down. You know, Bethel Park was so close. I really thought that they had it after Canaan beat Rainer. But, man, I will say Trinity, just impressive getting over Bethel Park. They're getting into the finals, and I think that they got a shot too, man. Like we said, Triple A is wide open. You know, who knows? You know, if everyone wrestles right, they got a squad. They got some really, really good kids, man, and I think that they can even – perform, and you know, I think Coach will even say, you know, I think as good as they did, I think that they can perform even better than what they did this weekend. So I look for Trinity to continue to do well, man, and they had a great weekend, you know, as well as Connellsville. All four of these teams, right? That third, fourth place match was an absolute dogfight. Bethel Park, Franklin Regional. Oh my goodness, I had my eyes. It was like ping pong. It was fantastic, man. I was so into it. I really didn't know where it was going to be. So, you know, you go and you figure out the last four teams, and we didn't know who was going to be we had an idea. I picked Connellsville just because I always feel that they just have those middle guys that, and it ended up being their lighter weight guys that ended up being, you know, being nails when it came down to the stretch. So, just a little bit too much, but you know, all four of these teams, super, super tough. So, you know, we're going to get Joey Fisher here on the call. I'm going to send him a message here. But yeah, like we talked about earlier, this tournament, just really close. I'm excited to see how the three teams do, in the state tournament. I think that all teams, all the three teams have a good chance. I mean, Franklin Region was right there, like we said, to beat Connellsville, and I think they had a good chance to beat them. Ultimately, that the Capusta match was a big, big turning point in the match. But, you know, for them to get out and get to the state tournament is a really big deal for the program. I know that, you know, you look over at their fans, and they were just going absolutely bonkers. I was so happy to see that. And all four programs had deep amount of fans there. Bethel Park, Franklin Regional, Trinity, Connellsville, all four teams had a lot of fans there. They packed the AHN arena out there at Pierce Township. That was awesome, man. I love to see that. And you look at that the finals. I didn't know how it was all gonna break down. Okay, let me send this over here. Sorry about the dead air, folks. So, but I am so excited to have Joey Fisher on. Obviously, he had a massive that is sent over. So he had a massive, massive, massive upset win. And you know, I'm privy to those Clarion boys up there, man. Brock Sackrell, he's a monster. You know, he's one of my favorites, and you know, they got some good stuff going up there, and you know, they kind of are trying to dub themselves Whippeville U, which I love, man. I love that. And you know, I talked to him about that. So I'm excited to get Joey Fisher on here. I sent him a message. We're going to talk to him about, you know, his performance, this weekend, getting the win over Anthony Noto, which was very impressive stuff. But looking forward to what we have. We have the PIAA State Duels this weekend. Go out and you know, it's on Flow Wrestling. Go out and pay for it. I don't know what it costs. I know Flow Wrestling's, they're a pain in the butt. Don't even, everyone knows, everyone has their own opinion on those guys. I know that they're a pain, and you know, but for me, that we can kind of watch almost all the tournaments, almost all the matches now, I can appreciate that. So, you know, at least we can watch those duels that I believe they start on Thursday or Friday. So, yes. So there's some really good matchups. They're on PAWrestling.com. Go check them out. So we look at where they're at in the brackets. I think both teams and Double A have a chance to, you know, make some noise. I'm not sure, you know, it's so deep this year. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I think that they have a chance. I think Burrow, you know, if they wrestle well, like we talked to Coach Shield, that they have a chance. And then, you know, on the AAA side of things, all three of those teams, you know, there's no real clear-cut team out in AAA this year. There's some, you know, obviously District 11 always has some hammer squads, but no clear-cut teams. So I think that, you know, teams were setting, they got a chance. And, you know, I love all their coaching staffs. I think I've talked about them, you know, a little bit tonight. You know, Trinity obviously has Coach Tarquinio and that squad over there. So, you know, I just love what they did. They brought a whole slew of fans. Their team was, you know, they brought everything they had. They pulled kids off the football field in Banco, and he was trying to do his best. I just appreciated their battle. So it was really good stuff to see that there. But so the last thing I have before I have Joey Fisher, he's the last thing of the night. He's our last deal here, is I have our Wrestler of the Week award. The Wrestler of the Week for me, it's tough, man. We talked about it. We talked about it with Kaz, and I went back and forth. He called me before. He had to say that he wasn't going to be on tonight, and I had to do a little audible, little quarterback audible tonight. It was close, man. And ultimately, I wanted to go with the squad that ended up – I wanted to go with the team that ended up winning it, or, you know, Wrestler. And for me, it ended up being Mr. Kai Bioma, the freshman for Connellsville, going out and beating Ty Capusta. That set them in motion to win that match. He goes out and gets another big victory in the following match in the championship. So Kai Bioma, he is the Wrestler of the Week award for this week for Near Falls in the WPO. I'll get a T-shirt out to you. I'll talk to Coach Swink and get your size and send it out to you. And, man, just impressive stuff. I was – so impressed to see you get that win, and you know, like Coach said, you're cold as ice, which I love. Just keep on moving forward. So, Kai Bioma, you are the Wrestler of the Week. But moving on to another Wrestler of the Week, one of my favorites, man. I've been on this kid for a long, long time, and he's you know, he's super exciting, and you know, I know the Clarion boys out there love him. So, without further ado, let's bring him on, Mr. Joey Fisher. What's going on, brother?
How you doing?
Good. You hear me well?
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, man. First things first, congratulations on your massive upset win.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was a pretty exciting one.
So talk to me about that match. Going into it, obviously you had to have known kind of where he was at. And how do you prepare yourself mentally to get ready for a match like that?
Honestly, the same as any other one. I think me and my coaches have both been stressing a big factor this year, just that, you know, like, I'm dangerous, and when I show up and, you know, compete at my best, I think that I can beat anybody in the country in that weight class. So I think there wasn't necessarily anything that was like entirely different this time around. I actually kind of looked at it in the opposite manner than I had in the previous matchups. And that was kind of basically just something that I was reading before it. And it was like, you don't need a superstar performance when you're going into those matchups. Like, when you know someone that's like ranked higher than you or is like a really good opponent, you don't need some superhuman performance or something out of the ordinary. You just need to show up as you are and perform at your best. And so I kind of just took the approach that, you know, it's just another match and I don't have to do anything crazy or out of the ordinary to beat this kid. I just need to be me and be the best version of me. And that's something that I've really been striving for recently, and it paid off.
Love that. Next question I got for you. Man, 125 is absolutely bananas this year, and you're part of that weight class. What's it like being part of something like that? And do you feel like, you know, you could be part of that absolutely craziness at the end of the year?
Yeah, I mean, just looking from, you know, back in like November when the season really picked up to where we're at now, we've seen who knows how many changes in the, you know, the number one spot, let alone the rank.
All right, Jerry, I think I lost you there for a second. Let me see if I can remove him. He seems to be frozen there. All right, Jerry, I don't know what – I lost you there for a second, man. I was so involved. I was so into what you were saying. I was so into it. All right, Jerry, I'm going to kick you. See if you can come back in, buddy. He was so into it. So those of you that he's talking about his win over Lockhaven, Anthony Noto. I believe he's ranked number four in the country. Joey, see if you can pop back in there, man. But, man, it was incredible stuff. And that, you know, what he was just getting at there, I let him finish his thought. All right, Joey. So you're doing great. Yeah, you're good. Which happens to me like all the time. These people are used to it. You know, we're not that. They're definitely used to it. So first things first, you were right at, which was perfect. You had so many different number one guys go down this year, and it's kind of wide open.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen changes in the number one spot, let alone those rankings entirely. And I think for me, it just shows anybody can be beaten on any given day. And I truly believe that at this weight class right now, there's no like true number one guy set in stone. You know, like in previous years, you see guys like Spencer, who everybody thinks, you know, it's like a miracle to beat a guy like that. Whereas this year, I think it's anyone's game. And I think that's just an even bigger factor of motivation that anybody can win it. So it excites me, if anything. It lets me know that I can go in there and I can be the guy and, you know, I can do it.
Love that. Okay. Next thing I got to talk to you about, let's kind of turn back the clocks a little bit. Growing up, man, you're a Whippeel boy. You're on the Whippeel show, man. South Park, born and raised. Talk about growing up in the Whippeel, how tough it was, and, you know, just talk about the, you know, growing up in the Whippeel.
Yeah, I mean, anywhere in the country, you know, like that district is traditionally, you know, the best in the country, and I still believe that's something that holds to be true. But it was just kind of like inspiring, if anything, being a young guns guy. I got to see a bunch of different guys that came up through that program and through the Whippeel and excelled into greatness, you know, not only on the NCAA stage, but on the world stage as well. So I think it's just like the Whippeel has this tradition of excellence, and to be a part of that and come up through that is, it just shows you, you know, like what guys from that city are capable of, and to be in a position, you know, to where I can fulfill that type of thing as well is pretty awesome. But I mean, you're surrounded by so many greats when you're coming up through there, and it's just awesome.
So was that where you're predominantly, you were a young guns cat growing up?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of bounced around. You know, you see a lot of people talking about like, you know, staying loyal to a club and whatnot. But the way I always looked at it was, I'm going to do what's best for me. I'm going to go where, you know, I'm going to get the best practice in with the best partners. And that kind of meant like me jumping around a little bit. So I was definitely a Team Nauman guy. I was an OMP guy, and definitely a Young Guns guy as well. I mean, it was hard to avoid those three clubs for, you know, different reasons for each one. OMP was, you know, they were like a family to me, and they, you know, kind of pushed me into winning my first state title. Ty Nauman was obviously a huge, played a huge role in my upbringing. He coached Jake Wenzel and Greg, and, you know, he's coaching at South Park for a little bit. So I spent a fair amount of time around him and developed a good bond with him. So, and then obviously later into my high school career, Young Guns seemed like the best option for me at the time. You know, I was in the practice room with Rocco Welsh, Mac Church, Ethan Lieben, Lucas Capusta, you know. So, I mean, I had a great practice room in there every day. Carter Dibert as well, Xander Fatoris. So, I mean, it was never like a dull day going into that practice room. You knew.
Yeah,
you
I'd say so. There were some monsters, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good stuff, man. Okay. Now let's talk about Clarion, man. Talk about Coach Zacherl. Talk about Coach Ferraro. Just talk about what it's like up there. I know this is, what, year two up here?
Three.
What's it been like up at Clarion, man? I know it's beautiful up there for one thing.
Yeah, I mean, it gets a little bit colder up here, which
I know you're in the bad time of year, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm definitely not a fan of that. It's starting to warm up a little bit though, so I can't complain. But yeah, yeah. I mean, the campus and just the town is beautiful. It's got that small town feel to it, which is kind of awesome because when you're doing big things here, it's kind of like blown up to a bigger proportion than if you were in like a bigger city, which is something that I enjoy. But yeah, there's absolutely no place I'd rather be. Not only the guys on this team, but those coaches, just, it's like my second home away from Pittsburgh, you know. It's like a giant family up here, and we all love each other and do anything for one another and really push each other to get to our goals. But yeah, I mean, I took a few other visits and had some lined up even after my official here, but I knew as soon as I got in the car on the way home, I told my parents, and I think I committed like a day or two after my official, and yeah, the rest is history. But
what sold you? What sold you on Clarion?
Man, it's just like, I think Brock was a huge part. At the time, he was still on the team when I was like coming up and visiting and stuff. So I got to like bond with him a lot and get real close with him. And it was just like pretty much the amount of faith they had in me and what they believed I could accomplish aligned with what I thought I could accomplish as well. And like I said, I visited these other schools and pretty much a lot of them were like, yeah, we want you as a 25 pounder for 4 years. Like, we think you'd fit great here. Like, we'd be excited to have you. Whereas like the coaches here, they were like, we don't care what weight you are. Like, we want you here. We see the value in you. We know what you can accomplish. So I think like their belief in me just like sparked a whole new love and interest in the sport for me, and made me truly realize like what I was capable of. You know, when you have someone that's consistently like beating that into your head, like, it's hard to not believe it yourself. And now I'm at a point where that belief is, you know, those wheels are fully going right now. And I'm just super thankful for all that they've done for me and the opportunities they've provided me with.
Oh, man, I absolutely love that. Okay. How do you stay focused? How do you continue to move forward as you get towards the end of the year?
Yeah. I mean, I'm taking like a similar approach. You know, in the past seasons, I've gotten real like nervous around this time, like anxious and whatnot. One huge thing for me is my faith and my belief in Jesus Christ. I think that's something that I rely on super heavily and propels me and gives me strength every day. But outside of that, I'm just trying to take like a different approach and just kind of have fun with it more. Realize that, you know, after this year, I only get one more shot at this. You know, I only got 1 year of eligibility after this. So I'm trying to make the most of it and just kind of realize that there's more to life than wrestling. And I think when I'm in that mindset, that's, you know, when I wrestle the most free. And when I'm wrestling free, everything pretty much just takes care of itself. So I'm pretty much trying to take a similar approach to the postseason and, you know, the upcoming matches as I did with that previous win that I just had.
I love that. Joey, anything for me before I leave you go?
No, definitely not. I just wanted to thank you guys for having me on.
No, I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. And, you know, I'm going to get up there and hang out and see Brock up there at Clarion one day. I'm going to come up and check you guys out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate you, brother.
Likewise. Have a good one.
Later. All right. And that was the 125-pounder from Clarion University, Mr. Joey Fisher. Man, how could you go wrong there? So, you know, just comfortable and just open in his feelings. You love to hear that, you know, and give me him when it counts, you know, the NCAA tournament. Who knows? You know, 125 is wide open. And after that conversation, man, he's got a fan in me, no doubt about it. I'm going to be cheering for him down the stretch. And, you know, I think he could beat anyone in the country, as he's shown. So thank you so much, Joey, for coming on and hanging out with me. I've been watching you for some time, man. You know, I remember watching you, I believe the first time I saw you was at Southmoreland Finals. You were like a little 107-pounder. And Justin Waters was telling me how tough you were. And I'm like, man, let me see this little squirt. And you were tough, heavy hands, getting after it. So then, you know, obviously I had to text a couple other people and see, you know, get some more information and just, you know, learn more about you. But just really appreciate you coming on and spilling your stuff there, man. That was really, really good stuff. Also, for those of you out there, appreciate you hanging out with me and listening. A little bit of a different show tonight. I did not have Kaz with me, so it was just riding solo. It was awesome, you know, just to talk about the four Whitfield teams. Had Josh Shields on and talk about Burrow and, you know, them getting back gone to the mountaintop. And he was very real there, right? There was just open and honest. There was lonely days for them. Were they doing the right things? You know, they stayed the course and found their way back on the top. That was awesome, man. It was very cool to see, you know, just him being open and honest with me and talk me through that match. And, you know, those two teams, like I talked about, I have a lot of respect for Burrow and Burgettstown. Both teams, both coaching staffs, both, you know, both have awesome wrestlers that I love. You know, so that was really cool to have him on. Going up to the AAA, you know, Coach Swank, I've had him on three times this year. I keep going to that well. But, man, I love his team. They perform. They're really tough. They won a tournament earlier in the year. He wanted to jump. I asked him to jump back on. He said, hell yeah, I'll come on and hang out. So came on, talked about his team then. You know, talked about his team today. Their performance was so impressive. Really, you know, getting that win over Franklin Regional was really close. And then, you know, winning over Trinity. And all four of these teams, we really didn't know. You know, like he said, he didn't know who was going to win. You look over at the other side and it was came down to the last match. But yeah, awesome, awesome stuff. Awesome show. I appreciate you guys so much for hanging out with me and just, you know, whatever it was, hour and 20 minutes. I had three interviews. Next week, we'll recap the PIAA state tournament. You know, I know that he's already texting me about individuals. You know, Kaz is going to, we're going to start pumping out some rankings for you guys. So maybe we'll do that one show. I know that we try to do, I think, four top four and then contenders and then a couple bracket busters. So be on the lookout for that. We'll try to do that here soon. And then the next thing we'll have, August Mizzia is coming on next week. He's giving out his beefsteak of the month award for the month of January. So he's going to choose between the four or five guys we had. I let him, Kai Vium, I believe he'll be part of that, Whipio tournament, because he had like, that was the this past week. So Kai Vium is part of that, as well. So he has between those guys to choose next week, and whoever wins is going to get a big old steak from August Mizzia. But other than that, that's pretty much it. I appreciate you guys hanging out with me. I know I kind of ramble at times and just kind of mumble in my thoughts. I was a little silent there at times, but hey, we got through it, and I appreciate you guys. The interviews were great, and you know, the tournament, it was absolutely incredible. For those of you that did not go, find a way to go next year if you're in the area. There's so much fun. The fans get so into it. It's fantastic. But that is all I have for you guys. Tune in next week, this time next week, 7:30 p.m. Tuesday, for another edition of Near Falls in the Whip Eel. Appreciate you guys. Later.